Our first author, Ruth Edelbrock, wasn't able to come. I'm the second guy here, and I will hold the talk instead of her. Land use and mineral characteristics affect soil organic matter amount and composition of surface and subsurface soils. And there was a case study that indicated that 38 gigatons of soil organic carbon can be sequestered over a period of 50 years over 345 million hectares of land in a soil depth from 0 to 100 centimeters when we have a land use change from arable to forest. The problem is that we still find a land use according to land use changes from arable to forest lead not always to an increase in soil organic carbon amounts. That means the controlling key factors are largely unknown. Therefore, the objectives of this study were to clarify effects of long-term arable and forest land use, as well as soil mineral characteristics on soil organic carbon contents and content and composition of mineral-associated organic matter fractions of subsurface soils. And for this study, we chose seven different soil types in Germany that showed a large range in soil mineral characteristics like clay content or specific surface area. On each of these soils, we sampled an arable and then directly adjacent forest soil. And each of the arable soils and each of the forest soils were continuously used for more than 100 years. Therefore, we assume for this soil steady state conditions. We restricted the the sample depths of the subsurface horizon to 40 centimeters to ensure for all samples conditions of aerobic organic matter decomposition. Generally, soil organic matter is considered as a heterogeneous mixture of organic compounds. And since a couple of decades, it's experimentally separated into fractions different in amount, composition, and turnover time. We have, for example, ecological meaningful fractions, which are organic particles and organic matter extractable by water. And we have this mineral-associated organic matter, which is of large importance for the long-term storage of organic carbon in soils. And these both fractions are less associated with mineral surfaces. That means when you want to separate selectively these ones, you have to remove these ones at first, because during extraction, organic molecules can transfer from this fraction and this fraction into this fraction, which means a diluting of signals which you measure for this fraction. For this, we developed a sequential separation procedure, and in the first steps, by a combination of electrostatic attraction, ultrasonic dispersion, water extraction, and wet sieving, we separated physically uncomplex and micro and macro aggregate occluded organic particle and water extractable organic matter fractions. And after this, as we removed these organic particles and water extractable organic matter, we extracted from the extraction residue the mineral-associated organic matter using sodium pyrophosphate, and we denoted this fraction as OMPI. We analyzed the composition of this OMPI fraction using Fourier transform infrared spectroscopy, which gives you an information about the amount of CO groups, which means carbonyl and carboxyl groups, and to ensure or to make it possible to compare different FDIR spectra from different fractions of different soils, we built a ratio between this CO group contents and COC group contents. And especially the carboxyl groups in this region are most important for the reactivity of organic matter or to react of for organic matter with soil mineral surfaces. And this ratio is denoted as CO pi, and we could show in a further study that this increasing ratios from the spectra results from increasing carboxyl group content. To consider overall reactivity of OMPI fractions, we multiplied this relative CO group content with the content of organic carbon sequentially separated with sodium pyrophosphate, and we denoted this product as OCI. OC pi star. Coming to the results. These are the SSC contents and clay contents of the different subsurface soils of the seven soil types. You can see here the soil types. On this y-axis is the SSC content. Here's the clay content. The clay content shows a large variability between when you compare the different soils, and more or less differences between these adjacent arable and forest soils for each soil type. And we found only for 4 out of 7 sites larger SSC contents in the forest soils as compared to the arable soils. That means we didn't find a clear land use effect. And then we compared the SSC contents of the arable and forest soils with soil mineral characteristics and found by multiple regression analysis that the SSC content of the arable subsurface soils is related to combined effects of clay and exchangeable calcium ions and of oxalate soluble aluminium and exchangeable calcium ions. These are the results for the sequentially separated pyrophosphate soluble organic carbon contents. Here as well the soil types and here the amount of separated carbon. And we found for 6 out of 7 soils more or less distinct larger OCPI contents for the forest soils as compared to the arable soils, which indicates for this a clear land use effect. And we compared these values as well with the soil mineral characteristics. And we found only for the forest soils, which shows a pH value smaller than 5, a relation to pyrophosphate soluble aluminium and iron, which indicates an interaction of this OMPI fraction with iron and aluminium ions. These are the results for the pH values and its relative CO group content. The CO group content is on this axis, the pH values are on this axis, and here are the soil types. What you can see is that the arable soils in 6 out of 7 soils shows a distinct larger pH value. And we found for 5 out of 7 soils distinct larger relative CO group contents for the arable as compared to the forest soils. And in four out of five these cases, we have a co-indication with larger pH values. And for these soils, we assume that we have, because of this larger pH values, we have a more intensive organic matter decomposition, which results in a larger content of CO groups. For the arable soils, which shows a pH value of larger than 7, we found a correlation between these OCPI star values, which contains the quantitative and qualitative information, to the exchangeable calcium ions, which indicates an interaction of this OMPI fraction with calcium ions. Coming to the conclusions, for the SSC contents, we found no distinct land use effect. And for the arable soils, we found an influence of clay, polycrystalline aluminium oxides, and calcium ions on the SSC contents of these neutral arable soils. For the OCPI contents, we found a land use effect. That means it's larger in forest soils, subsurface soils, than in arable subsurface soils. For the forest soils with a pH value smaller than 5, we found an influence of interaction with iron and aluminium ions. And for these relative CO group content, we found a reverse land use effect. That means it's smaller in forest as compared to arable subsurface soils. For this OCPI star product or value for the arable soils of pH larger than 7, we found an influence of calcium ions, which indicates an OMPI interaction with calcium ions. And in case of a land use change from arable to forest, we assume that if the pH values drops below 5, we have a shift from OMPI CA calcium interactions to OMPI iron and aluminium interactions, and we want to further evaluate what are the consequences of such a shift for organic matter stabilization. That means we want to measure here the 14C contents to get an imagination what that means for long-term stabilization. All right. Thanks to the German Research Foundation for financial support and for your attention.
Is Latasha Light here? Okay, our 9 o'clock speaker hasn't shown up, so we'll take about 15 minutes for questions for Michael.
Thank you.
Garrett. So.
Could you maybe comment on the relative importance of iron versus aluminum in your observations after you drop into that more acidic pH range?
We didn't find a single correlation or regression analysis. The highly significant correlation was only found when we combined these effects. So actually, I have no data. In the forest soils, the aluminium values are larger than the iron values, but I'm not sure. So I cannot answer the question with detailed data knowledge. I don't know who was the first. Okay, yeah, just.
Okay, so a lot of people have found that pyrophosphate can actually dissolve iron from the short range order of very hydride like minerals. So what is your take on oxalate versus pyrophosphate, iron and aluminum? What are the differences in?
That's right, and we work by a pH value of 9.5, which means it can be a dissolution of this short range order minerals. We measured our pyrophosphate, aluminium, and iron directly in this fraction, which we measured the organic carbon. That means it's not the traditional pyrophosphate extraction which you do with your bulk soil samples. So in case of we would have dissolute a large amount of these polycrystalline minerals, we would find, a relation between pyrophosphate soluble organic carbon and oxalate soluble iron and aluminium, but we didn't find this. So it has an effect, that's for sure, but it has not an effect of this statistical analysis. So we cannot exclude it because it happens in the soil, but it has actually no effect on the analysis which we did.
So you don't think that short-range order iron oxides can actually precipitate on organics,
I didn't say that. That's for sure. But the interaction of organic matter with polycrystalline minerals takes place mainly via like an exchange reaction. And I'm not sure if sodium pyrophosphate is the right extraction agent to dissolute mainly this interaction, because this is a strong, this is one of the strongest binding mechanisms, and because of the chemical extraction mechanisms during sodium pyrophosphate extraction, you are not able to dissolute all this ligand exchange bindings in organic matter. You may dissolute some of the polycrystalline minerals, which dissolutes the organic matter as well. But I think sodium pyrophosphate is not the able extraction agent to crash down this ligand exchange reaction. So there was a second. No, she left.
Are you still on you specifically, or can we open it up, Chris?
Yeah, feel free to ask.
I guess I have the opposite question than maybe for Catherine. You specifically at iron and aluminum oxide minerals, mm-hmm. is what was the pH of your system, and is that a relevant driver of some of your observations?
Well, the pH of our systems was around 6 to 6.5 in all of the treatments, so it was pretty circumneutral. So as far as pH driving metal dissolution or pH driving differences in dissolved organic matter characteristics, I'm not sure that it was a really significant factor.
I wondered if you thought, you know, in the context of forest soils where the systems are more acid, like you just showed, if you think your observations would hold at that lower pH range, or would you amplify the, you know, some of your results? Or,
well, to be sure, pH is a master variable and definitely has large effect on not only solubility of organics, but solubility of the minerals, and then also rates of precipitation. And I would actually assume that if we had more acid systems, you might actually get a lot more metal humus complex formation, so a lot more pyrophosphate extractable metals and organics, just as he's shown. As far as other effects, I can't really say, because I mean, there's a lot of stuff that changes when you change pH, obviously.
I have a question for Catherine. Your data looks like you've shown these short order sort of organic matter metal bridges that are going to form particularly complex phosphorus, and I think your data suggests that, and stabilize the phosphorus. Care to comment on that? One of the things we see all the time is when we try and look at organic phosphorus, we find large amounts of organic phosphorus, quote unquote organic phosphorus, by difference methods, and yet it's not microbially mineralizable. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of question whether or not the phosphorus is really an inorganic phosphorus complex in these kind of amorphous aluminum or iron mixtures that is recalcitrant, you can't get it out. Mm-hmm. So it's really inorganic phosphorus, but in all of our gross test, it shows up as organic.
So it should be available, but then it's not
right.
Available. Sure, I mean, there's been a lot of work done on sorption of phosphorus or organic phosphorus compounds to oxide surfaces, and a big mechanism, of course, is even metal cation bridging on the surfaces of other soil minerals, on the surfaces of the oxides themselves, and even sometimes on particulate organic matter. So we actually, I didn't show a lot of the fluctuations over time because there just wasn't time, but you do see, you see almost no orthophosphate in the DOM from the oxide incubation. So that really is really being completely taken out of solution. You do see very low levels of these organic phosphorus, you know, compounds. We don't know exactly what form they're in. But the interesting thing was that with increasing time of incubation, you, in all three treatments, you see a broad increase in this organic phosphorus composition. And we're assuming that's due to greater abundance, the transition from plant-based to microbial-based compounds. So an enrichment or conservation of phosphorus. What that means in a natural environment where you have kind of constant influxes of new carbon and pH fluctuations and moisture fluctuations, it's not exactly clear. But yeah, I mean, obviously these surfaces are very effective at complexing phosphorus.
As a follow-up, can you with thermal techniques, do you think you could separate the COP ester bond from a metal bridge?
With thermal techniques? I don't think so. That might be a better question for Garrett. But I mean, there's so many experimental variables that people try to assign specific structural types to certain temperature ranges, but at the end of the day, it just doesn't really, you can't really do that. I don't know.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I don't think so it's the right technique at all. I mean, it's more of a, gives you an idea about what's going on across the whole sample, but you know, there's other techniques probably to find that question much more refined.
Yeah.